Sometimes I just want to be a kid again. My childhood was amazing. I grew up in the Southwest. I was always outside exploring, and most importantly, my parents paid all the bills. When I think of my childhood, I think about the toys, games, and TV shows that really marked that time in my life. And when I think back to it, I feel like, man, I wish I could bring some of that back. From WBEZ Chicago, this is When Magic Happens. I'm Jennifer Shea Love Long, here with Taylor Coward and Cheryl Jackson. Okay, so y'all, I want to know all about your childhoods. I bet they were fun. Cheryl, tell me something. Tell me, like, what your childhood was like.
Child, I had a good time. I had such an amazing childhood. You know, the stuff that shows are made of.
Yeah.
It was the best. You know, first of all, I had four siblings. I have four siblings. So growing up, four siblings, and we're all 2 years apart, so you know it's madness at all times. But it was magical, especially now that I look back and I know that's just not the norm. You know, at times it was like maybe even a TV episode. Mm-hmm. It was very classic. It was fun, warm, rambunctious, wholesome, just all the things. And I'm just grateful for that experience. Very, very grateful.
What's a moment that sticks out for you?
Summertime in Memphis. First of all, the heat is on hell in Memphis during the summer. let me just say that. But my warmest memories, hanging out on my friend's porch. She had a swing. The family had a swing on their front porch. And we playing music, you know, the hit songs in the late 70s, which were just magical unto itself. Like Brick House, what? And then deciding who we're going to have a crush on for the summer. You know, you had to have a summer crush, okay? Of course, you didn't have a summer boyfriend, but a crush was good enough. It was good enough. And it's just fun, just laughing and hanging out with friends and playing tennis in the middle of the street, called it street tennis. And it just was a beautiful, warm neighborhood. To this day, we even have a Facebook group called Cherokee, the Cherokee Kids. And that was my childhood.
Hmm. Taylor, how about you? I want to hear about your childhood.
Okay. I also loved being out in the summer. Mm-hmm. And that's like my strongest childhood memories. And so my mom would do like a DIY slip and slide with like baby soap and water in the backyard. Aww. And we had a little inflatable pool. And I had a country father, so we would catch fireflies in jars, and he'd poke holes in the top.
Nice.
But yeah, I loved summer holidays a lot. So we'd do fireworks, I remember, every year, and I'd be so looking forward to school to end because there's so many summer holidays. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think summer is a really fun childhood time because you're free, you're out of school, and you get to see your family more. You get to go on vacations.
So I grew up in the Southwest, and we were always outside, mm-hmm. always. And in the summertime, we would walk everywhere, like walk to the park. We would walk to the 7-Eleven and get bubble gum. You know, my parents were very, like, they just let us be free. And it really was kind of that rule where when the streetlights come on is when you come home, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
And
right.
we were always exploring. We would go to a friend's house and just, you know, play games or, you know, just, I just felt like we were so free. Mm-hmm. You know, we could just kind of do all different kinds of things. And I also remember, though, my mom, she was an adventurer. So she sometimes would be like, hey, you guys, let's get in the car and go. Like, we'd go to Carlsbad Caverns or we'd drive to Dallas, Texas. You know, just these random sort of spontaneous trips that we would take just to kind of, like, get away.
Yeah.
You know, and to explore something new. And I really appreciated that, like, you know, there was, one, the freedom of being able to just explore within our own backyard, but also, you know, this adventure that she brought to our life, too, where she'd just be like, let's hop in the car and go. Mm-hmm. And my dad was also like that, too, except he was more like outdoors. We would go fishing and hiking and, you know, he would take us skiing, you know, like there was just always something really interesting that we would get into because they were exploratory.
That is another fun country father memory was fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah. We fished a lot. And a very vivid memory is my brother, like, he wanted to, like, really throw the line out real far. Mm-hmm. So he kind of threw it back behind his head. And I heard my dad yell an expletive. And the hook had caught him right in the ankle.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, you caught a big fat fish.
Caught your daddy.
He caught our daddy. But, yeah, fishing is fun. I think fishing is one of those things that I want to reincorporate into my adult life.
Yeah.
Because sometimes nostalgia is a little painful because it's this thing that's gone and it's this thing you yearn for. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to reincorporate certain things I did as a kid into life now to make it a little less sad. You know what I mean? Like, so I can have it back. So I used to knit all the time. And yes, I was like a six-year-old grandma, like knitting with my school librarian. But it was something I really... It's something I really enjoyed, and I'd have knitting circle every Monday with my brother and my librarian and other kids, and I found a class in Beverly that does beginner's knitting classes because I feel like I need to refresh, and so I'm going to join that next Tuesday, so I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, fun.
That's
neat.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it because I want to look back on things that I did and not be like, oh, I wish I was still doing that thing or I wish I still had this thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to do some reincorporating.
I like that.
Nice.
So like, knit, Cheryl, what are you reincorporating? So knitting?
knit pearl.
knit pearl. Okay. Those are the stitches, the two stitches. knit pearl. I was really creative as a child. You know, my parents had us in. And summer, it also happened during summer. They put us in classes, with swim classes, art classes, music classes. And I really enjoyed the art classes. And I was the school artist. So whenever they needed something, like for school plays and, you know, the production for school plays or the signage, they come look for me. Where's Cheryl? And so I ended up kind of being the go-to person for my high school for art. But I got my undergraduate degree in painting and drawing, but I'm a long ways from that now. And my mother's, you know, constantly rides me about, when are you going to get back to that? When are you going to get back to that? That's something to reincorporate. But it's hard because it requires a commitment. Because you can't just like, squeeze an hour here and there. You have to be in the zone, you know, at least for me. Mm-hmm. I can't go from back-to-back Zoom meetings on budgets and workflows and operational plans and next second I'm whipping out my oil paints or charcoals. So I just, it's gonna require a different level of commitment, but I like to be back there. When I'm painting and creating, it's like time ceases to exist. It's just suspended. It feels like slow motion.
And
that's a cool feeling.
Maybe you can follow a Bob Ross episode.
You know, used to love those.
The Joy of Painting.
Yes.
And then just pause and be like, oop, I got a meeting.
Yeah.
Bob,
that's right.
Yeah.
I should try that. Take a baby step is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
You're absolutely
steps.
Right. What about you, Jennifer? What do you want to reincorporate?
Well, you know, and I've started doing this is roller skating. And I remember going to the roller skating rink, but like now in Atlanta, it's like a thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a whole roller skating culture where people, you know, learn how to do these different moves on roller skates. And I can do like the most basic, but I like the physical activity, right? Mm-hmm. I love the fact that there's music. And, you know, you're like dancing on roller skates, you're going around this little roller rink. And I don't know. I've been doing that. They have this thing on Sundays. It's like adult skate. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. you can just go out there. And you also, what's really fun is people, you know, wear things that, like, one time I wore like this little 70s-ish jumpsuit. Like, ooh. You know, you could just kind of like make it fun. Right. Make it your thing, you know. And it's so it's like
and it's,
that.
And it's so back now, you know.
Yeah.
People are really into skating.
Yep.
How did you all have good balance in the 70s?
Nah, I didn't say that.
Okay. Because I just feel like young black people spent their weekends, like the big rink here is called the rink on the south side. And I was just like, all of y'all skated? How?
Yeah. Well, and not good.
Cheryl's like, not me.
Yeah, not me. Not good. But I mean, that's kind of the cool thing about reincorporating it is it's like you're learning something new.
Right.
You know, you're learning like a new way to roller skate, which is kind of fun. So
and can wear a fun outfit.
Yeah, fun. Well, that's really
the point.
That's the point. Okay, and then you fall and someone will help you up.
Yeah. Hopefully he's fine and tall.
Oh, no, you're not tall enough.
Right, I'm going to stay right here
Put
on this
back
ground.
On the ground, okay? Please.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
WBEZ is supported by Impact Grants Chicago. Over 400 women come together in a unique model of collective giving. Each member contributes $1,000, and together those donations grow into $100,000 grants for Chicago nonprofits that address critical challenges across the city. By pooling resources, individual gifts multiply into greater impact. Listeners can learn more about Impact Grants Chicago and past grant recipients at impactgrantschicago.org/join2025.
What kind of trends did you all have back in the day that you were like, I had this thing, everybody had it, it was a must have? Because those are so interesting to me.
For me, you know, the big thing was Atari, you know, the video game.
Oh, okay.
But Barbie, personally, my brothers, I have three brothers. So, you know, for them, it was Atari that was raised trying to find the Atari set.
Is that a console?
You know, it is. It's kind of like a precursor to, oh God, I don't even know why I'm trying to go down this path. The
Wii?
Yeah, I guess. Not the Wii, but the handheld things that they have now. They do. I
Nintendo?
Don't know. You can tell. You can tell I'm so Gen X right now. Like the little thing they do now. but it was a precursor to that. And but for me, it was Barbie. Mm. Barbie. Girl, I was a Barbie freak. I had everything. As a matter of fact, did anybody watch that special episode series they did on HGTV, Barbie's Dream House, where they had to go in and redo a house, a competition to redo a house into Barbie's Dream House? Mm. And they had to do different eras. It was like in June or July. No, it was in July.
Oh,
and they had to pick different eras, like you do the 70s or you do the 60s or you do the 80s. And I was there for every episode. I was just like, don't call me. Don't talk to me. I'm here in front of the TV watching this. And I saw my Barbie Dream House on there. So the one that I had, my most beloved possession in the entire world. So for me, it's Barbie. I had the Barbie beauty shop, the Barbie airplane, the Barbie ski chalet, Barbie, you know, camper.
Wow.
I had the Barbie vacation home, airplane. I had it all. And
Barbie
I was
ski
just,
chalet.
Yes, ski chalet. Wow. Had a ski slope and everything.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
She would slide down. She had her skis on, and she'd go down this ski slope. And it was just Yeah, that takes me back to this day. If you want to see me just regress, okay? Put a Barbie in front of me, all right? Full on regression.
Did you collect Barbies, Jennifer?
I did. I have Barbies. I really love dolls.
Okay.
Like, I had a lot
Baby
of
dolls?
Different, all kinds of dolls. Like, any, you know, there was a doll called, it was called Real Baby. I had Barbies. I had Cabbage Patch Dolls.
Hmm? Is that the one that pees?
No, it was like an actual weighted, it was a weighted baby. Like, like it was a real baby.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, just any doll. And my mom would also, she would find like random dolls. She even made dolls.
Oh.
Yeah, like, because she knows how much I love dolls. But I, any doll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any of them still with you?
I do.
Today?
I still have one doll that my mom made.
Oh.
And her name is Jessica. And she's been with me. Now, my daughter, I tried to pass it on to her.
She's like, I don't want it.
No, that is creepy.
Oh. But there's it's like a really saturated market now. I mean, mm-hmm. She could have a Bratz. She could have a.
Yeah.
It's some that are like spooky characters. Monster High.
Oh,
it's one
yeah,
that can be like
yeah.
a vampire or a werewolf.
Yes.
There's so many. I feel like back in the day there was like a doll.
Yeah.
But now mm-hmm. there's like so many.
So many dolls. And you know what's interesting? She doesn't even like dolls. She likes horses. Like she just wants like.
A horse girl.
Yeah. She just wants horses. What about you? Did you like dolls?
No.
Really?
My mom really tried. I'd twist the heads off. And so my mom would come in my room and be like, hey, why is the body over here and the head over here? But they make the most satisfying sound, the original soft head Barbies, when you pop it out. It's this good pop that it makes. And so my mom would be like, hey, girl, these are for playing with. Like, these are not for snapping in half. And so she tried Polly Pocket. Have you ever seen those? They're like these really tiny, hard plastic ones. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, she can't pop these in half. And so we didn't do, like, American Girl. She took me to an American Girl tea party. And she said she was so disappointed because we dressed up, we had tea, we were matching outfits. And she was like, you looked like you wanted to be anywhere else in the world. Mm. And she was like, you just were not giving me the time of day. Nor Kit. Oh. Nor any of the other dolls. I don't know what it is. I had a brother. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I could just go play with him. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he was my younger brother. So, like, I'd dress him up. Or, like, I'd make him do stuff. And so I was like, I have a doll. Yeah.
Right. And it's alive.
Yeah. It's baby alive.
It's baby alive.
Do you have a, like, favorite key childhood nostalgic show in mind?
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Oh. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
So beautiful. Won't you be my neighbor?
Won't you be mine?
That was such a sweet
show.
What a sweet spirit.
It was. He did. It was just like, oh.
I feel like that's the key to like a good childhood show is like, you got to really just have a gentle-hearted lead character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was that.
He was.
R.I.P.
And I whenever I was sick, I got to stay home. And I got to stay home, which meant I got to watch Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yeah.
So lucky.
It was connected to getting all the attention in the world and watching my favorite show. It's just, that has got to be number one in my
sick show was The Price is Right. come on down.
You're the next contestant.
What was your stay-at-home sick show when you were little?
I love the Smurfs.
Oh, yeah. That
was my favorite show. I don't know. I loved them. They were just so like.
They were funny.
La, 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 la. They were just so happy.
Yeah.
And anyway,
and
I like.
And blue.
And blue. Gargamel. Azrael. But anyway, what about you?
Have you ever seen Fraggle Rock?
Oh, yeah.
My mom would basically play all the shows that she watched. Mm-hmm. So I'd watch Fraggle Rock. I liked Sesame Street. I like grew up on Sesame Street. Mm-hmm. But a new age show would be like Barney, The Wiggles or Blue's Clues.
Yes.
I love Blue's Clues. Like, to this day, Steve, the original guy from Blue's Clues, he made an Instagram account because he knows how damaged Gen Zers and young millennials are. And so he's like, they need me right now. And so he made an Instagram account, and he talks to followers the way that Steve talked on Blue's Clues.
Aww.
So he'd be like, hey, you're doing so well. And like, I know the pandemic was hard, but like, you stayed in school, you stuck it out. I was weeping when I first saw it because I'm like, Steve knew I needed to hear that.
Aww.
And I love Steve. And the Wiggles, I think, are also getting their flowers now. Do you know the Wiggles?
I don't.
Oh my God. They're like,
I don't either.
They're like the Beatles to me.
Mm.
Like, I don't need Paul nor John. I have red shirt, yellow shirt, purple shirt, Wiggle. I think they're Australian. And
yes, I know of I love them through them. My nieces and nephews.
Were they obsessed with them?
Yes. I remember they went to a road show or something at the theater. And
they have like infectious energy.
Mm. So how do you think your childhood actually compares to this generation? Like if you think about Cheryl, you think about your nieces and your nephews. Taylor, you think about like, you know, the kids that you're, you know, working with today. What's different about your childhood versus theirs?
Well, I was the first generation of helicopter parenting, I think. Mm-hmm. And so kids don't break bones anymore. They don't skin knees anymore. And like my mom talked about how she'd like fly off a bike or like she got kicked off a horse once. And like I think people were a little looser with their children in terms of like them going outside and kind of embracing the earth head on. I feel like kind of the new wave is don't even let them touch the ground. You know what I mean? Carry them everywhere. Don't let them get hurt. They can't eat dirt. They can't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fortunate that, like, I was the last dirt-eating generation, I think. Because I feel like it does make me comfortable with, you know, being outside, and I want my kids to fall and get back up and be resilient. And so I just feel like I noticed that really, that like they don't get roughed up. I think like maybe my mom's generation or like my later generation did.
Yeah.
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 Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
WBEZ is supported by Impact Grants Chicago. Over 400 women come together in a unique model of collective giving. Each member contributes $1,000, and together those donations grow into $100,000 grants for Chicago nonprofits that address critical challenges across the city. By pooling resources, individual gifts multiply into greater impact. Listeners can learn more about Impact Grants Chicago and past grant recipients at impactgrantschicago.org/join2025.
Child, my sister Michelle, she has four children and three boys, and then there's a big gap, 8-year gap, and then the daughter. But those three boys, she had a loyalty plan. She was part of a loyalty plan for the children's emergency room because those boys were constantly being having to go to the ER because, you know, they just play too much. Okay. Hard. It was, you know, limbs threatening to be cut off, and it was a mess. So I don't know, maybe how old are they now? They're probably your age. Taylor. So you there's probably, I maybe see your point because I was like, well, no, it's still happening. But when I think about it, they are, you know, around your age group. So
I think we were the last survived. Ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because the other one, that's my niece that came 8 years later. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. For her 13th birthday, she told her mom she wants to be an influencer. Can I have an account? But you have an account. But it's, you got so many privacy things, rules around it. I can't follow. No one can follow me. Yeah. I can't follow anyone. Yeah. Can I please? That's her birthday wish.
Wow.
That never would have been my birthday wish. But that's her birthday wish. One of her birthday wishes. She wants to have a real Instagram or TikTok account. So that's different. That's very, very different. But yeah, I really feel for the parents and young people that are up against the whole social media, oversized influence of social media, you know, with the challenges, and some of them are so dangerous. You know, the dance ones are cute, but you hear those horror stories about the, you know, the challenges on TikTok challenges or IG challenges. So I think that's different.
I would agree with you. I mean, I think, like, even thinking about my childhood in comparison to my kids' childhood, right? Like, we were outside. We were talking and communicating with people directly. Mm-hmm. You know, we were playing. We were, you know, having a challenge or getting, you know, confrontation or conflict was direct face-to-face. You know, it wasn't like this thing where you hid behind a screen, like you were actually having to interact with people, you know, and just the kinds of experiences that you had were more directly linked to engaging people as opposed to like a screen, you know. And so like whether that be video games or versus being outside or video games or social media versus like this is the way I connect with my friends. Not that it's not legitimate. It's just very, very different.
Right.
You know, very different in the way in which they kind of socialize. And so I would say that's probably the biggest thing that I notice. Also, just like their level of creativity and play is so different. You know, like one day I was like, hey, y'all go build a fort. And they're like, what's a fort? I'm like, oh, Google it.
Girl, give me my Nintendo back.
And so, I mean, just basic things like, you know, being creative about, like, we'd want to build our own treehouse or, like, just come up with things that we could create, you know, and their creation is kind of done digitally, you know?
Well, so, I wonder if that creativity you had to have because you couldn't go get on a device.
Of course.
And so I think if you took that away from kids now, they still could come up with it.
Sure.
But I do feel like the Wii and going to play tennis on the Wii was much more fun than like pretending to play tennis in my backyard. You know what I mean?
Right. or just going and playing tennis.
Yeah. And but
or just get out in the street but with a racket.
I will also say I'm from the Stranger Danger era as well. I feel like my mom told me she used to get ice cream from her old man neighbor out of his window because he worked at Good Humor. And I was like, you went into his house by yourself? She's like, yeah, every week. And I'm like, oh, no. Like, it is also just a different world. Yeah. And so, like, when I have children, I don't know if I'm going to be super comfy telling them, just come back in when the street lights are on. You know what I mean?
I think, though, we also know more. You know, like honestly, growing up, it was like we were oblivious to all the things. Like, it was just like, oh, go out there, you know. And I think now, obviously, we're getting information. We're getting information in real time. Yeah. And so, like, our, you know, our sort of what we're attuned to is different because we have more information.
The awareness.
And before, we were like, I'll be back. Maybe.
Go get on that bike. See you in 8 hours.
Okay, I have a question, and I'm kind of curious. Like, if you could turn back time, what era would you return to? Like, where would you go back to in your childhood? What age?
Cheryl, do you want to go first?
Sure. I was thinking about this the other day. There, generally, I appreciated my childhood, and I enjoyed myself, and I felt very privileged to have the childhood that I had, but I don't really have a burning desire to go back and relive it. However, there is a moment that I would like to go back and relive. And that moment was when I was a senior in high school. We were done with our classes. We had not yet graduated. Our graduation ceremony had yet to come, but we were done with classes and we were having our senior day. And my group of friends decided to have a pool party at one of my friends' homes. And we were jumped in the car, we were headed to our house, and the sunroof was back, and one of my favorite songs was on the radio. And it just was this moment of everything was before me. I had a sense of accomplishment behind me and promise in front of me, and having no worries about either. It was just such a lovely moment of feeling free and light and full of hope. I'd like to have experienced that moment again.
What about you?
I don't know. The time I learned to tie my shoes. Jeez. Cheryl Toni Morrison in here. I think 10 years old. I think 10 years old was very formative for me. Mm-hmm. I started to pick up on some of the hobbies that I think I still enjoy today. Before that, my mom would pick out all my books to make sure they were age appropriate. And if she felt I was advanced, she'd move them up. But then I was like, that's when she let me go to the Borders bookstore and pick out what I wanted to read. And I remember that being exciting because you're starting to get your own freedom. You're starting to kind of become a person. Mm-hmm. I think before then, you still are, I don't know, you still share opinions of your parents and everyone gets along at school. But around 10, you're like, hey, I disagree with that, with family, with friends. And I felt like I was becoming myself and who I am now. And so I'd go back then and just enjoy it. I think that's like a great age.
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, I would say actually when I was in high school, like my junior and senior year, because it was kind of like I had to kind of figure things out, but I was kind of at the pinnacle, not only in terms of like the grade that I was in, but also just how I had matured, what I'd learned, just all the things were like culminating, And I just remember that being such a fun and special time. So I was like, I was a senior class president. I was a homecoming queen that year.
Of course
I was
you were.
Class favorite. But my
Of course you were.
And I was, it was just like all of these things culminating. Mm-hmm. It was coming to an end, but like in a really fun, it was just fun, it was just a really fun way. I also remember being very cognizant of the time I was spending with my friends for the last time, before we went off to college, and just making these really special moments. Like in New Mexico, we have this place, it's the Valley, right? And we would light these bonfires in these trash cans and stand around the trash can. Anyway, we would tip cows.
Vintage activities.
But I'm just saying, and I don't even really know why we did the bonfire. It was just to stay warm, maybe. But it was just these fun things that we did that just made it such a special and memorable time.
Yeah.
You know, what song that was really big, a hit during my high school years, Mama used to say, You know, remember that?
Yeah, Mama used to say, don't you worry,
take your time, young man.
Yeah.
We got different lyrics.
Yeah, sorry.
was that your senior song, like your graduation song?
No, it just was, I'm reminded of that song. And, now I really understand what that song meant. You know, Mama used to say, take your time, young man. Mama used to say, don't you rush to get old. And I have a full appreciation for those lyrics. When I didn't, hearing that song for the first time as a teenager, mm-hmm. It's that carefreeness that is so precious. You know, not every child has the privilege of having that experience as a child.
Yeah.
But if you are privileged enough to have had that experience of being carefree, that it's a precious time, and we shouldn't want to rush past that. But you know, past is prologue. So
here she goes, waxing poetic.
And that's a wrap for today's episode. If you liked what you heard, subscribe, rate us on Apple Podcasts, and tune in every Friday for your dose of When Magic Happens. And follow us on Instagram at When Magic Happens Podcast. You can find me, Jennifer Shea Lovelong, on Instagram at Being Shea Love.
You can find me, Taylor Coward, on Instagram at Taylor Coward Online.
And you can find me, Cheryl Jackson, on social media at Cheryl Jackson. That's Cheryl with an E.
When Magic Happens is a production of WBEZ Chicago and part of the NPR network. Our truly magical producer is Brianna Garrett. Brendan Banaszak is our executive producer. Tracy Brown is chief content officer. Engineering by Maria Lopez. See y'all next week.